This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And that did it. Canada wins the Four Nations Challenge, the Four Nations All-Star. Let's not play a regular All-Star game. Let's do something different that the NHL rolled out with cooperation of the nations involved, the United States, Canada, Finland, Sweden. And, man, it sure seemed to be an absolute hit. And that has us kind of thinking here at Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. Menigan's in for Andy today. Meredith is taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. All those folks who say, you know, you never talk hockey. Well, by golly, Andy's not here and we're still talking hockey. So how about that? But this is, I think, bigger than hockey, and that's the point.
I'm going to put out this disclaimer before I begin. I enjoy hockey. I don't totally understand it. I will do my best. If I get something wrong, please correct me. Please do not take it personally. Please do not see it as anything more than a very casual hockey fan trying his best. Treat me like it's peewee hockey, if you will. A poor kid doing his best skating, holding a stick, who gets a little too far out in front and can't stop. That is the best way to describe what I'm about to do here.
It's very similar to soccer, Dan. A lot of the rules are very, very similar.
I was texting our friend the other night and using all soccer terms in between because it's what I do best.
Well, and let's be honest here. Hockey, basketball, soccer, lacrosse, if anybody knows anything about lacrosse. Similar kind of concepts in the games. You know, different things, but similar kind of concepts. But that aside.
Right. So that's my disclaimer. I'm just putting that out there. And I'm going to do my best.
And what Dan knows about hockey might be quadruple what I know about hockey. In all honesty, you know, I grew up in the Akron area. We didn't have hockey. I was never exposed to hockey. The Crusaders came to town, got into Jerry Cheevers. That was great. They were good, but I didn't go to games and didn't really follow the sport. I think it's a beautiful sport, and I love it at the Olympic level, and I love it come Stanley Cup time with you. Last night was bigger than just a hockey game.
Yes, it was.
And that's the point of our conversation today. And we chatted about this yesterday a little bit and related it to the NBA and, you know, with the All-Star game. The NHL rolled out something that just didn't work. It worked well. And I think it's big that they were able to, first of all, that the NHL was willing to pitch its All-Star. Just throw it out this year. We're not going to play an All-Star game. We're not going to have all of those festivities, and they do skills and all that stuff. That didn't happen, right?
Right.
So they did this instead, and it captivated a good portion of sports fans. And I will tell you, it was really competitive. Just watching it, I thought, these guys are playing at least as hard as they play during an NHL game. At the very least, it was the same type of a game. And it seemed like there was more involved because they were playing for country. And then Connor McDavid, after the game in his interview, the young lady who did a nice job as the rink reporter, asked him, you know, about getting up for this game. And he said, well, it's easy to get up for this game because we're playing for our country. And anytime, and I just thought, well, that's commendable. And I thought, I wonder what your teams think about that. I did. I kept thinking that during the game. I wonder what your teams think of this. And Dano, I wonder what they do. Because these guys, they played hard.
They really played hard. They played their tails off. This was, and I'll sporadically like check in and all that kind of stuff. This was the fastest hockey game I have seen outside of a Stanley Cup final. I
mean, these guys. You mean speed of the speed of the players during the game?
Just the speed of these guys moving. You could tell that they were rearing and ready to go, and were really doing everything. You know, giving everything that they had in the tank, like it was a Stanley Cup final game. It was amazing how fast the puck was moving. It was amazing how fast the guys were moving in between there. And even in such a short period of time, how they were able to get some kind of an offensive flow together with guys that maybe knew each other a little bit from development and all that kind of stuff on both sides, Canada and the U.S., it knew each other a little bit in development. I mean, you had guys, you had Sidney Crosby, who's got to be 36, 37 at this point in his career, with guys who...
37,
you know,
by the way. Sid the Kid is now 37.
Connor McDavid, who's 30, with guys who are 22. So even if you are through the same pipeline, these guys aren't playing with each other and knowing each other as well. But yet there was some kind of a chemistry that was clearly built in between. I was so impressed watching that on both sides. And I know I should be ticked that the U.S. lost. And I'm a little bummed out that the U.S. lost.
No, you're not.
But I was so shocked.
You don't care enough about hockey to be bummed that the USA lost. Well, you're just happy that you saw a really cool game.
Honestly, I am.
I am too.
Okay.
I thought, hey, good for Canada.
Everybody looks at me cross-eyed when I say I could just sit down and watch something and enjoy the fact that
it's good
just
for Canada.
Sporting, you know.
Good for Canada. And Meredith, do teams embrace their players playing in this? I would think, I'll give you what my two thoughts on it. I would think no, because, oh my gosh, you're running the risk of injury and we still have a cup to win. And I would think yes, because you're doing nothing but promoting our sport like crazy. How does the NHL really look at it?
It's been kind of contentious for the past few years because the NHL players have not been allowed to participate in the Winter Olympics for the past few winters. And that has been, I mean, that it has made the players pretty angry. So you have basically a brief break during the hockey season, during the Winter Olympics, and none of these guys are getting to play. So a lot of them were pretty upset about this. I feel like this may have been their answer, but they are going to be allowed to participate in the Winter Olympics starting in 2026 again, because I think the NHL realized that they made a mistake in taking away NHL's, like people, like in taking away their ability to participate in the Winter Olympics. And I think this whole tournament proved that as well. So the players wanted this. I think the teams and the league itself was a little shaky on it for that very reason. But this is something that the players have wanted for a really long time.
Okay. I must alert everyone. Something scary is about to happen.
No.
Jeff Thomas just walked into the studio, walked over to the microphone, to the basket seat, plugged in his headphones, sat down, and he's ready to yell at us for something.
No. So I'm feeding Dan information because he's a little preoccupied today because, as he told me, he's carrying you. I don't know what that means.
You know, this is like most every other day?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like Monday through Friday all the time. So, and I know you were talking about how up Connor McDavid was for playing for Canada, especially last night.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I'm not a big puck head. I had to look it up myself, but apparently his Edmonton team is in first place in their division, one of the best teams in the NHL, and Connor is one of the best players. So I think he's getting up for all of his games, not just Canadian games.
Okay.
So is there anything else I was supposed to do for you?
No, that was it. You just fired me all this information. I said, do you just want to come in here? Because clearly you know what you're talking about. I'm just treading water here.
Are you going to play the gift I sent you?
I am going to play the gift that you sent me. Do you want to set up your gift then?
Do you want to do it now?
Let's do it.
All right, so last night it was an epic call, and after the Canadians won, you thought they'd won the Olympic gold medal, which NHL, give them props. They figured how to make the All-Star break worthwhile because these guys the players gave a damn. You watch it in San Francisco, you think those guys gave a rat's you-know-what about the games they played? No. So great
Mack
call.
McClung did.
Because he's going back to Ocala, or wherever that place in the G League is.
And he's 100 grand more, you know, richer.
This is true. Now he can almost afford that Kia. So last night, great epic call on ESPN. Also, great call from the folks in Sportsnet in Canada. But you know what? The best one, Jeffrey, by far,
yeah,
is the hockey hotbed that is the folks who work for ESPN Deportes.
Ocotlán López que pide una tableta para los nervios. ¡Qué partido el disparo! Cuidado que ganaba el careo. Y metía el bastonazo, pero se va desviado. ¡Cuidado! ¡No va el gol! ¡Gol! ¡McDavid! ¡Gol! ¡De Canadá! ¡Gol! ¡Canadá campeona! 3-2, Connor McDavid.
See, I got the Connor McDavid.
I got the 3-2 thing. I remember that from Sesame Street. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
It was just... outlasted
the air horn.
That was beautiful.
Because they've been talking about the fact is what the NHL ratings have been horrible on ESPN and Turner all season long. And then you had millions of people. And I've not seen the ratings from last night's game. I think Saturday night's up in Montreal where they beat the hell out of each other literally... He had like 8 million people watching.
Yeah, I saw 4.4 initially, and then that number's gone up since then.
Yes, I mean, so it was just, even if you weren't a hockey fan, the past couple weeks were fun.
They were really fun.
You wish they could kind of expand with a few more countries because of certain issues. That's why there wasn't a Russian team and things like that.
Which, by the way, would be a whole nother level.
Yes, it would. Yeah. But, I mean, give Gary Bettman and the folks at the NHL credit, man. They did a really great job the past week, so well done to them.
They sell their sport pretty well.
Yes, and they have to. They did a great job.
They figured it out.
Yes. If,
with Meredith talking about the Olympics, they're going to shut down again.
Which starts in less than a year now.
Yeah, what do they close down, Meredith? Like 5 weeks of the NHL season?
Yeah.
Something like that?
It's a pretty significant amount of time, and I think that's another reason why the NHL players were also upset about not being able to participate because they can't represent their country. And then they're also not playing their sport for a very significant amount of time.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Does Jaromír Jágr play for the Czech Republic at the age of, what, 52? That I'd like to see.
I'll bet he could.
He probably would if he could. I'm surprised Wayne Gretzky didn't put on his skates last night.
I'll bet he could. That was fun. Jeffrey, thank you, buddy.
All right.
You're the man.
Dan, you done with me?
I'm good, brother. Okay. Thank you.
Peace out, boys.
This was easier.
Didn't you doing the work?
This was easier than me looking down and going, Jeff Thomas has sent me this piece of information, and Jeff Thomas would like to chime in with this. Thomas speaks this way.
Can I give you a thought? Jeff Thomas inspired what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah.
And it's why this works. Why this works in the NHL, but might not work in the NBA. Okay? Remember we talked about the United States against the world.
Yes.
Why it might not work, coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody else you might have to trade for. Coming up in Let's Find Us a Quarterback at 11 o'clock. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dano is in for Andy today. Meredith's taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. We're talking about the Four Nations Cup. Is that the official name of it?
Yes.
Is that what they called it? The Four Nations Cup, where for the NHL All-Star break, they had Canada, the United States, Sweden, Finland play a little round-robin tournament, and Canada won the championship game last night. It was a good game. I mean, it was, if you like sports, it was a competitive game played by the best that there might be in the world, or some of them anyway.
Good chunk,
and,
yeah.
And it was really good. And afterwards, the man who scored the game winner, Connor McDavid, one of the top players in the world right now, was asked, you know, why do you play it? Anytime we can strap on the uniform and play for the country, that's a big deal, and blah, 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 blah. And both sides played like it, the Americans and the Canadians. I mean, they played all out. And we've talked about the NBA All-Star game, and Adam Silver is racking his brain trying to figure out, how can we make this thing more competitive? How can we make the guys care? How can this be, you know, how can we make this work? And this year they went with, you know, the four different games and the young rising stars, which I thought they shouldn't be there. And then they kind of, and this just didn't happen by coincidence, they ended up having Shaquille O'Neal having the older guys who made the All-Star team on his little eight-man team. And then Charles Barkley had the international guys, and Kenny Smith had the younger stars. That was not a coincidence just by, you know, luck of the draft.
No.
That kind of happened.
They were hoping to spur some kind of rivalry.
Exactly. And then the Four Nations happens, and everybody gets pumped up because it's, you know, U.S. against Canada. And we talked about this. Maybe NBA, the United States against the world, gets everybody fired up. And you think, boy, maybe, could that possibly be? And Jeff Thomas today poo-pooed it when we were chatting about it before the show. Hmm. And I think Jeff is right.
Hmm.
And the reason I say that is this. USA against the world doesn't quite get you fired up if you're playing for the world.
Why not?
Unless you hate the American basketball players and want to stuff it up their wazoo. But then it has to be a group effort. And I say it for this reason. It was U.S. against Canada. Connor McDavid and his mates were playing for Canada, the motherland. In the NBA, right now, quick look, two players from Spain. Three from Puerto Rico, which is actually part of the United States, but, you know, Australia, 15 guys. So you could field a team from Australia for the NBA All-Star Weekend. One guy from Austria, two from Brazil. Anderson Varejao is not one of them. Shucks. One from the Czech Republic, two from Serbia. One named Luca. 14 from France.
They're so pretty good.
You might, yeah, the French guys, they can play. You might be able to put together a team from France.
Get well soon, Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, oh, that's just bad.
Yeah.
And 25 from Canada. So if you wanted to, you could put together an Australian team and a French team, a Canadian team, and a U.S. team. But that leaves out guys like Luca. You would want him, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. That Nikola Jokic guy is pretty darn good, too.
I'd love to see him involved, and he wouldn't be under this situation. And I wonder if the international guys would have the same passion to play together against the U.S. as, say, Canada did playing for their country in the Four Nations.
I think you're right that everybody needs to have a country to play for. I think that really boiled down to a lot of this stuff, and the way that these guys were playing and the way that these guys wanted to play is that playing for your country, the way that it sounded, really meant something. It meant just as much to the Tkachuk brothers as it did to Connor McDavid and to Sidney Crosby and to Marchand and that whole group that was going up in Canada.
So an international group of the NBA, if it was just international, wouldn't be playing for country. They'd be playing against the U.S.
Right.
Which might be inspiration enough for them. You never know.
Spite's a hell of a motivator. I mean, it
except for one thing. What's the spite? Hey, I went to the U.S. and I became a gazillionaire. Thanks.
Not a big fan of fast food chains. You know, these guys are a little arrogant. How come nobody could speak any other language? You know, there's a lot of things. We can point to a lot of things.
You're in Texas. Whataburger's pretty good.
Whataburger is pretty good, I got to admit. But, like,
I would think it's hard for most of those guys to be mad at the country because they came here by choice to play in this league and make a lot of money. Now, they might be mad at American players if they happen to think, and I don't think this is the case, that American players are arrogant about the level of American basketball. I don't think that's the case. I really don't. Because every American player I know loves an international guy if he can play.
Yep.
That's all that matters. Can you play? Great, you're in. That's right. All that matters.
Well, it's a really good point. Because it's definitely the definition or the difference between what we have watched and what we see in the NBA, what we see in professional soccer and all that kind of stuff. Because it's the same general idea. Like, and even these hockey players, I'm 99% sure it really doesn't matter where you're from if you can play.
Yeah.
You know, if you're helping get my team to a Stanley Cup final, if you're helping get my team to an NBA final, it kind of doesn't matter. So you know, the way that you say it out loud like that, yeah, I think you're onto something. That maybe...
Well, it was Jeff's concept. I just took it the next step.
Maybe having... Like, maybe spite isn't the level of motivation that you're looking for there, that you need to have some kind of pride on top of it. And if... And having... I mean, yes, we have pride for our planet, but we haven't really been in a global sports tournament yet to really grow that pride. Once we get to that, to the universal sports tournament, let me tell you. That pride will grow.
The Australians playing for Serbian pride. I don't see that one.
I can't see it either. No. Or world pride for that matter.
But I kind of get it. I also think it's weird to me, and Meredith mentioned the NHL shutting down, and we've seen it in the past for the Olympics, and then they didn't do it for a while. They're going to do it again. That's a huge economic hit for your league to shut down, but it's for the betterment of your sport.
Right,
and to me, it's an interesting balance.
And Connor McDavid talked about that after to ESPN, had this to say when it came to possibly using this to grow the game to new fans.
Well, I hope they love it. It's a great game. It's a great sport. And I hope we put on a good show these last couple days and gain some fans. You know, ultimately, you can't ask for a better show than that.
And maybe that's worth it. Yeah. And that's audio courtesy of ESPN. Maybe that's what's worth it, is the idea that, like, if we shut this thing down for a week and maybe take a hit for a week, maybe we will have enough people coming back that want to watch these guys when they're playing for Edmonton, when they're playing for Calgary, when they're playing for Boston, when they're playing for Pittsburgh, when they're playing for Columbus. You know, maybe maybe there's enough of that there that you get that goodwill that people want to pay attention to this stuff by merely putting the, and I don't know if it's the best version of the product, but putting that version of the product out there with that level of care and that level of speed and that level of competition. Maybe that's the case. And maybe that's a smart move on their part. Maybe the Olympic idea is the exact same thing. It's like, okay, if we build this together, we can build this. That's the question I have, though, is, and can that translate? Do you think that could translate, like, that maybe this kind of thing gets a whole bunch of people to want to tune in and pay attention to all of these different teams and that stuff to see some of the guys that they saw play as hard as they did?
Maybe. I honestly think maybe. I would be more inclined to watch an NHL game after watching that.
Right.
Just because, just a little bit of a follow over.
Yeah.
And I don't follow the NHL.
Nor do I.
And, you know, so when Jake Christensen joins us at 1 o'clock, we already apologize.
Meredith, I'm dumb on this stuff. The speed that we saw last night, is that common in a regular season NHL game, or is that strictly for a playoff Stanley Cup type of thing?
That was much closer to a playoff scenario than it was for regular season. And it's really interesting because the West plays a lot faster than the East does. And that's one of the reasons why I always enjoy watching Western Conference games. And so I think you had a good mix of that in last night's game. But yeah, the entire tournament, even from the very first game, has been so much closer to a playoff atmosphere than, like, anything else.
Which is really interesting, because here you are, you still have a regular season to finish up in the NHL, and these guys are busting a move and picking up the pace a little bit. Well, that's tough, and I wonder what kind of shape these guys are going to be in when they go back to their regular teams.
And they were talking about that on the broadcast. I forget who, you know, whoever was, and they did a great job on the broadcast itself.
Sean McDonough was play-by-play guy.
Right, and they did an awesome job at that, but they were talking about, like, yeah, some of these guys have picked up some injuries along the way that are probably going to cause them to miss a couple of games once the season starts up once again. And it's, you know, if you're a fan of that team, are you bummed over that, or are you just like, hey, you know what, I'm thrilled that this happened. I'm thrilled that I got to watch it. I'm thrilled that I got to be a part of it. And I can live with the idea that maybe my guy misses a couple of games.
Can you see the NBA, though? See, I can't see the NBA shutting down. They shut down for, what, a week? I can't see them shutting down for 2 weeks or something and having some kind of an international thing and everything else. Because part of the reason, obviously economic, another part, I don't think the NBA has to sell its game as much as the NHL does. Hockey is played in parts of the world. Basketball is played all over the world, everywhere. And people get it, and people follow it everywhere.
That's a really interesting point. I wonder how universal hockey is across the world. I wonder if there is a level of selling that takes place across the world, or if it's so ingrained. I mean, goodness, you got Sweden, you got Finland, you got Norway, you've got all of those countries in between there in Europe. So it's not like the sport hasn't touched Europe. That's a really interesting point. I wonder. That's a good question to somebody who's more global.
Well, hockey is huge in Europe, but
yeah.
You know, is it as big as basketball in other places? Absolutely not.
That's a really good point.
Tom's in Berea. Hi, Tom.
All right, Tom.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I called to disagree with you. Is that allowed?
Absolutely.
Very much so.
That's why we're here. We're married.
First thing, you're used to it, okay. First thing I'd like to disagree with you is on the international versus the United States not having any spice for it in the international team. I would only point to golf. And
that's
the Ryder Cup, and there's one other international versus the United States competition in golf, and the biggest thing for these pros is to get on that Ryder Cup team. Both the guys from Europe, which represent every country from Scotland to Italy, but they play as a team, and it's a big competition. So I think that international versus the United States would work. And plus, if you break it up into the smaller countries, they're not going to be competitive. They need to come as an international team versus the United States team. That would be a hot game.
Only thing I would say in contradiction to that, golf is an individual game. That's the only time they play it as a team. So it kind of becomes a big deal, unless you're on the live and you're playing for like the Jackrabbits or whatever it is they call
still,
themselves.
There's a level of two ball and four ball and all that kind of stuff that comes with it. Yeah. I mean, there's team aspects, but there's also individual to it. But
no, but
you're right.
No,
guys,
but I mean,
one.
The only time they play team in golf is Ryder Cup, President's Cup, that kind
They've
of stuff.
They've started doing a couple
and
different.
The other point I'd like to make, guys, is about taking a break and losing money in the middle of the season. No. These guys, they plan out their season, the number of games they're going to have, the amount of money they're going to make off of those games, and they put that break in the middle there. They're not losing a dime. Matter of fact, their TV revenue might go up for that particular game versus other games during the season. So it's all part of the plan. They're not losing any money. And thanks. Have a good show.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Tom. That's good stuff to think about.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I think, Meredith, in the expanded years, did they cut back on the NHL regular season schedule or not? Any idea when they did the hockey? When they allowed them to play in the Olympics, did they cut back on the regular season?
No, I don't think they did.
Okay. Well, then Tom's right on that. Which means you expand the season and run greater risk of injury.
Yes.
I'm playing completely devil's advocate in a bad way. Carlos, I want to sneak you in. You got 30 seconds,
man.
Buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a suggestion as far as getting the players to play for a cause. Maybe, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, something to, like, the winning team or whatever would donate to the fires in California or for cancer, Children's Miracle Network, or something like that. And maybe the players would want to play harder for their cause.
Carlos, not a bad idea. I know they play for charity now, and they do a lot of charitable things. Maybe something like that would work. All I know is that the Four Nations worked, and the guys played a terrific championship game. They were, you know, the build-up to it throughout the entire tournament was really good. So congratulations to the hockey world for that. And we're going to talk a little more hockey at 1 o'clock. Jake Christensen of the Columbus Blue Jackets talking about the 2025 Stadium Series.
Just a
coming
a
to
half
Ohio
second.
Stadium.
They built something in the middle of February that was must-watch TV.
Yep. Good time to do it, too.
Good time to do it on top of the fact, well done by the NHL, well done by everybody involved. That was fantastic.
Hey, Browns, you want to make a trade? I'm not talking about a defensive end. I'm talking about a quarterback. Let's find us one next on Baskin and Phelps.